Now, back to a couple of guys that think Dr. Doolittle was a quack. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest in the studio one of Lansing's newer pet entrepreneurs. We've got Michael Lewis, who has started Trick Your Bully, which is a pet shop that's geared specifically toward the bigger, stronger breeds based right on Washington in Riotown. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, Lee.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you here. Michael, what compelled you to start this? I mean, I know that in talking with you, you said you had a passion for these dogs, but what led you to the path of starting this store?
Pretty much, Lee, I wanted equipment that was functional. Your normal nylon harnesses or leashes are just not really sturdy enough or functional equipment, like I like to call it, for your larger breed, bully breed dogs. Particularly, I breed pit bulls, so it's just not going to cut it. These dogs can, you know, they're in weight pull competitions. They can pull a lot, you know, an excessive amount of weight that your normal dog wouldn't be able to. I mean, you know, you just need functional equipment for these dogs. And when I say functional equipment, we just need better, more responsible owners. So, you know, we don't have any incidents.
Yeah, that's an important part of what goes on. We've often heard it's at the other end of the leash that's usually the problem, not the dogs. But you're right, having equipment that can hold them and contain them is an important part of the whole thing. You say you are a breeder of them. How long have you been breeding pit bulls? And is that really where your passion for it comes from?
Yeah, I mean, I love the dogs. I've been breeding for probably around 5 years here. I've had dogs all my life, different kinds of dogs. I just ended up with this particular breed. I grew up with German Shepherds in the house, had some Boxers, had Dobermans, Rottweilers, you know, pretty big spectrum. Mm-hmm. But it's always been the larger, more powerful dogs. So that, you know, I've always seen people with these little dinky straps and harnesses for them. So I just wanted something better where we can, you know, have control of our man's best friend and, you know, everybody's safe.
Yeah, I would imagine the collar and the leash and the harness for your Chihuahua, Rick, isn't quite the same
as it would be
for some of the breeds that just got mentioned.
He looks cute. Don't get me wrong. My dog looks cute in his little collar. So,
but still. And Michael, one of the things that was interesting too about your business is we talked a little bit about some of the nutrition elements of what you carry, because you were talking about that there are a lot of times nutritional deficiencies with a lot of dogs that need to be dealt with. Talk about that a little bit.
Pretty much. Even though they're readily accessible, like your Purina. Good dog foods, I just think they're geared more towards, manufactured towards mass amounts and not specifically what the dog needs. Mm-hmm. I believe dogs are just like people. They get all the same ailments as we do, cancer, heart attacks, diabetes. Your best friend still needs the proper nutrition. People don't think about when you're thinking about purchasing a dog, they need multivitamins, you know, just as well as we do. Like sometimes your dog will have flaky skin, you know, kind of looks like dandruff. A lot of times that's like a fatty acid deficiency. You know, they need more fatty acids in their diet. So I think if you're thinking about owning a pet, you need to look at the full spectrum of what you need to do for that pet to keep him or her healthy. So some of the things that I have a multivitamin in the store. It's chewable. It's like a liver flavor. Really palatable to pretty much any dog. I haven't had any pet or, you know, dog that didn't like it. It's 24 vitamins and minerals, minerals you normally wouldn't even see, cobalt, zinc, magnesium. Dogs need the same thing. So if you really want to keep your pet healthy, it's one a day. It's a two-month supply. It's very, you know, non-expensive. If you look at the long run of things, $35 for 2 months is really not a whole lot,
right?
Especially when it's going to keep you out of the vet's office.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I'd like to shift to, because you have a business specifically focused on the bully breeds, what steps do you take as a breeder and what steps do you take as an entrepreneur to kind of encourage responsible pit bull ownership and discourage irresponsible pit bull ownership? And what kind of evidence do you have out there of, inappropriate pit bull ownership versus appropriate? How do you deal with that?
Okay, well, I'm kind of glad you brought that up. As a breeder, we'll start with that. Whenever I sell a puppy, I always have a disclaimer or closure at the bottom. Any of my dogs are not sold for illegal purposes.
Right.
I have the sole right to, if I find out that the dog's being used for an illegal purpose, mm-hmm. that I can recover that dog.
Right.
I didn't start breeding them, so people can use them for illegal purposes or hurting the dogs.
We're talking illegal purposes. We're talking about fighting.
Fighting.
Right.
Of any kind.
Right.
Organized, non-organized, it doesn't matter. It's all
right.
Illegal.
Right.
So I don't promote that.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I really, really am a big stickler about that.
Right.
So I'm
right.
picky about the people. I want them to go to a family setting because my dogs, my puppies that I breed, they grow up with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
my kids are involved. They play with the kids. As far as a business owner, when they come in, the correctional items that I have, as far as like choke collars, I like to call them correction collars because none of my choke collars have prongs. I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have to, have those spikes go into the neck in order to teach the dog. It's just repetition.
Sure.
And I don't think those are necessary. Plus, you get people that use them for more than that. And what I mean by that is they leave them on the dog, and that's just not correct.
Doesn't make sense.
No. You do it while you're on a walk to correct them, to make them sit, to make them heal, or, whatever you want them to do, and then you take it off. It's just for a training time, training purpose.
You've been in business now for about 4 months. Have you had any golden opportunities to work with individuals coming in that might not necessarily get it, and you've been able to turn on the lights for them and kind of get them to be a responsible owner?
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. People think a pit bull's got lockjaw, and I've had a lot of people, what age do they get that at? And
they're
just like any other dog. They're just a little bit more powerful.
Right.
It's a working breed of dog.
Yeah.
Back in the 1800s, they used them, like kings and queens would use them, send them out in the field to bring down bulls because they are a stronger breed of dog.
Sure.
And those bulls were used for dinner.
Right.
So I love any opportunity I can get to educate people.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
So
there's we know in the interviews we've had with the Humane Society and Animal Control that a large percentage of those that are left without homes or left loose in town are the bully breeds, the pit bulls and such. So anything we can do, anything you can do, anything we collectively can do to kind of like curb that problem, my hat's off to you for being there and kind of being a positive minister for pit bulls, because that's what we need.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Rick. One thing that I would like to kind of get across, this breed of dog and any bully breed, your Rottweilers, your Dobermans, are not for everybody. You have to take a look back. If you're a lazy person, you're not really in the house much, those dogs are not for you.
Good point. Thank you.
You have to put the breed, you have to fit the breed with the person. Personally, I wouldn't get a boxer because they're really energetic. I mean, they have to have something constantly.
Absolutely.
So you have to get the dog that fits your personality.
Describe a pit bull owner. What's the ideal characteristics of a pit bull owner?
I would say I sell a lot of my puppies to farmers. They like to run. They like to please their owner, but it's when we talk about pleasing in a working aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So, they'll run mice out of your barn. They'll do a lot. You have to have an active family. Family that goes camping, person that runs. I personally, exercise my dog every single day. I've got three of them. And I go one after the other. We'll go around, for 30 minutes. You have to exercise them. Where you get into these sticky situations where the dog doesn't, it's not getting enough exercise, chewing on things, you're not exercising.
And then
it gets bored.
And then the trouble begins. Michael, we're just about out of time. Can you share with our listeners where your store is located?
Yeah, sure. We're in Rio Town at 1136 South Washington. We're right over by where the old Cadillac Club was. We got a big octagon window, and happy to see anybody who wants to come in.
Fantastic. Well,
thank you for helping to bring downtown Lansing alive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
It was our pleasure to have you on the show. And Rick, on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and on behalf of Rick Pruce, my co-host in the studio, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great week ahead, a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Have a great week, everybody.
Got some ideas, suggestions, questions? Email us at mmpets@1320wils.com.